Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Tuesday, January 13th, 2009, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, it's great to be back in front of the seat, back in the chair, back doing audio. We'll talk about CES, but boy, oh boy, it's been an amazing, fun week, but I got lots of news and information for you, so strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, I want to welcome all of you to the show. Boy, oh boy, it seems like it's been forever, but it's just been one week since I last produced a show here in the studio, but what a busy week it's been. Actually, I'm a day late, and I'll talk a little bit about that. Why here in a few moments, but I want to welcome all of you to the Geek News Central Podcast. Of course, all of you that are new to the show as well, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great tech content. And of course, sign up for our newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. That newsletter will contain all of the articles that I talk about on today's podcast. And we'll have basically information about the show. So make sure you get signed up for that. And, of course, for all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners to the podcast, hey, I want to thank you for being part of the family here. And, wow, what a week it has been. It really has been an amazing week. And I've gotten just a huge number of emails from you, some of the videos that we had at CES. And I think I've kind of figured out why once I've got home. But I want to kind of recap really what has happened in the last 7 or 8 days to kind of give you an update on what's been happening. When I flew out of Honolulu Monday evening, a week ago yesterday, left on an evening flight on Hawaiian Airlines, and at the time was still, if you guys remember when I did the last show, still wasn't feeling real well. And that cough and sinus stuff is hung even up until this point tonight. Cough, and I'm still got drainage. I'll talk a little bit about some things I did to, or actually, the help I got in hopefully bringing this to fruition, but to Vegas, and it was even worse being sick in Vegas. But, you know, the show must go on. We had a lot of stuff to cover at the Consumer Electronics Show. But on the way out, we got, I figured, okay, I got about 5 hours of good sleep I could get. I was about 4 hours into that sleep, and the stewardess woke me up, said, "Sir, we're landing." And I'm like, look at the clock. I'm like, "We're early." She goes, "No, we're landing in San Francisco. We have a medical emergency aboard the aircraft. We need to land immediately. There will be an ambulance," basically, and they announced this on the PA. So I waited, and we landed in San Francisco. The EMTs came on the aircraft, and that led to more people getting off because there was people that were supposed to go to Vegas and then catch connections back to San Francisco. So they let those folks off and yet let their luggage stay on the aircraft. That was the amazing part. And we had to get fuel, so what my 6:30 landing in Vegas turned into almost a 10 o'clock landing in Vegas, which really kind of started the whole ball rolling of falling behind, because my plan was to immediately get to the hotel, sleep for about 6 hours, then start preparing for the first evening event, which was CES Unveiled. And I didn't get that sleep, and we went right into CES Unveiled, worked that event. Probably did 25 or so videos, went back to the hotel that evening. Basically, we did get a good night's sleep that night. The team did. day, and then the team met. We kind of worked through some issues we're having with what we're going to do for processing a video. The event went well. That was another four-hour event, and we probably shot another 15 to 20 videos there, video interviews. And then that evening, got back to the hotel maybe about midnight, and then day one coverage started. We had to be right out of the hotel early, out to the Sands Convention Center to start day one coverage of CES. Well, we got all the coverage done in the Sands, moved immediately to Showstoppers, which is an evening event at another venue, did another 4 hours at Showstoppers, then went from center stage, and I'm wearing a center stage T-shirt tonight for those of you that are up on Ustream. The center stage event was sponsored by Hewlett-Packard and a number of other vendors, which was a really great venue to go to because we were able to push video. After day one coverage, I started an email from all of you saying, hey, Todd, where's the coverage? Where's the coverage? Where's the coverage? We were only going to be putting up videos, and those were the daily wrap-ups. And we got the day one video out, space continuum issue, where there's only a team of four of us, and we're all, you know, basically three of us are creating content. We got, of course, Andy, the cameraman from Chicago. And, hey, I must give a big, huge shout-out to Andy. I know you're listening. Thank you so very much. Now, what you all don't know is Andy is also a medical doctor. He is a ER, emergency room doctor. He works a night shift in Chicago, and fabulous guy. He wants to come back and ES with us again next year. And Andy volunteered and helped us out on his own nickel. It was more than I could ever ask for some a list to come out and support. But I had a great time with Andy. And later on in the week, Andy says, "Well, you're not doing good. Let's step into my office and let's do a professional evaluation." And he did his normal doctor routine on me and said, "Yep, I'm going to write you a script." And he was able to write me a script for some meds. And I am on the road to recovery from being absolutely miserable. But that was kind of cool, having your own medic or doctor on the team. You couldn't ask for anywhere. I was thinking, well, if I have a heart attack, this is a great way to have a heart attack with a doctor here, you know. So, but Andy, hey, thanks so very much for coming out. And I look forward to, hey, maybe we'll do some other cool things this year. Who knows? But day two, you know, basically what it is there's only so much time in the day. And when you're dealing with video, pulling the video off the hard drive, getting it to a place where you can edit it, because you're humping all this gear. Andy weighed his gear on the last day, Andy McCaskey did, and he was humping 28 pounds of gear. And the stuff I had with batteries and everything else was at least that much weight, plus the camera, which was probably another 25 pounds. So we had this huge amount of weight to carry around, and I really didn't want to carry a laptop just because of the simple fact that it was just too much. And so I left the computer that we're doing the video editing back in the hotel. So from getting the convention center to the Monte Carlo and back and forth, just takes time getting there. And then all the other stuff going on, the dinners, the meetings, you know, I had basically an hour and 15 minutes. That was about the free time I had each day to get the daily show punched up. And the bandwidth in the Monte Carlo was horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible. 66 meg file took about 2 hours to push on their pipe. Now, if we ever get to center stage, now, look, this is again after editing the video, doing the getting it compiled, dropping it to a disk, then I got to center stage, it would go up very, very quickly. But it was just this whole thing. So that's why you haven't seen a lot of the live produced interviews that we did with the high-def cameras. What you did see was the back channel videos, and we were pushing, well, the guys were pushing a lot of videos, a lot, on the back channel. So much, in fact, that we got lots of comments from people like, wow, this is amazing, can't believe you guys are doing all this, but it was all raw. So what was happening was is none of that video was getting compressed. It was all getting shoved up in the full .mp4 format. So some of these files are 200, 300 megs that went up to a Blip TV before it got encoded into Flash, yet the 240 meg encode still, when it was crunched down, probably ended up to be about 100 meg Flash file. So many of you that run on super high-speed connections when you're trying to watch that Flash video, you would get it. It would run for a little while. Then it would stop. It would time out. Then you'd have to wait a little bit and it'd run some more. Some of you were getting stalled video downloads. I noticed those that were overseas were having more trouble than those that were in the United States. It was just because of the sheer quantity of the videos. Now, all the stuff is available. We'll have it all available for MP4 download via RSS feed. That'll be forthcoming here. All will be titled and have information so you know which ones you want to watch and so forth. Andy's going to work that. I start working all of the primary channel content tomorrow, pushing it all out so that you guys can all see the primary video. And again, the primary video is only going to be linked in an RSS feed via the special media page. And I'll put some special notes into the show notes to tell you which feed to subscribe to get the live production feeds. Now, the embeds will be put on the front page of Geek News Central, but there will be no more MP4s put into the podcast feed. From here on out, it'll be just only MP3 files. So be aware that if you're on the regular podcast feed, that you will not be able to automatically download the rest of the 100 or so highly produced videos that I'll be pushing out over the next probably 6 weeks. So make sure that you get subscribed to the special media feed. Well, anyway, day two, day three, day four went along. Lots of coverage, of course. We just absolutely were just completely wiped out. I think you can see that by some of the back channel video, especially day four breakfast. But here's some takeaways. $199.99. That $199 seemed to be the sweet spot for all the different gear that people were trying to sell. Everyone had something for $199 or $149. That was the sweet spot for all of the cool gear that we found. What are my takeaways? Well, I'm going to have a full-blown takeaway and talk about CES, about all the gear, the things I thought were cool, not cool, this coming Saturday at the Tech Podcast Roundtable. The Tech Podcast Roundtable, we're going to have a special edition where Andy McCaskey, Jeffrey Powers, and myself are going to talk for an hour just about the CES coverage and give you our thoughts and comments about that event. So you'll want to attend the event this coming Saturday. It'll be at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern, where we kind of go over everything that we saw at the show and give you the takeaways. Quite honestly, I'm still decompressing. I arrived home Monday afternoon just completely hammered. I mean, so far as being tired. And my mom flew into Hawaii last evening. So just by the time we got her into the house and unpacked and all set up, I was really no condition to do a show. So I waited to record the show until today. So that's why the show is essentially going up about 24 hours late. Lots of netbooks at the show. Just huge, 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 huge numbers of netbooks. That seemed to be the category for everyone trying to capture. Lots of small cameras. We fell in love with the little one from Kodak. I actually like the one from Sony the best, the new Sony Webby camera. That's a pretty cool one. The only thing about that I really didn't like is you're going to have to use Sony storage. But we did, you know, we were talking about what we're doing at CES and all of the cool stuff that we've had happen over the last year in preparation to going to this year's event. And Andy, the cameraman, came up with an idea that next year, if we can swing it, we ought to take a independent film crew with us to really film us doing the show instead of us just filming the show. Because it's almost an endurance march. And, you know, we're not like Engadget. I think Engadget had, or Gizmodo, one of the two, had like 40 people there. And you look at their coverage, it looked like they had 40 people there. We had 4. Wired had 7. But, you know, CNET probably had 100. I don't know. But we had 4 people there. And to do what we did is quite remarkable. And I think if Andy will call into the voicemail line, or if Jeffrey, you want to comment as well, you know, there's, or even Andy McCaskey, there is this, you truly can't understand the scope of what we have to go through to do the content, to do everything that we do and get across these multiple football fields, get through the 2,700 vendors, brush away those that we really don't want to talk to. You know, it's a very interesting dynamic. And this is definitely a young man's game. And I'm 44, and Andy has got a number of years on me. He's a tough old bird, I'm going to tell you right now, because we're out there humping it harder than a lot of people. You know, we're really out, and we're not sitting in press rooms. We're not sitting in suites where there's a vendor suite. We just don't do that. We go out there and dig stuff up. So I think you're going to see in the coverage that we start putting up online the end value on this. So if you know of an independent film creator, we want to talk to him because we have a cool movie idea. And it's going to be a geek's reality thing. So let me know. Let me know if you're interested. 24-hour podcast episodes are going to start going up. I'm still haven't put episode one up from the 24-hour podcast. Those will go up here shortly. I have had a one of our longtime listeners in Albuquerque has volunteered to do some work on the T-shirt store, so I'm going to get with him this week. He's going to get that up. But don't forget, we're going to do the Tech Podcast Roundtable this coming Saturday. Of course, that event is sponsored by GoToMeeting. You know, during these tough economic times, businesses of all sizes need to increase productivity and cut cost. And online meetings are great places to start. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, lets you meet with anyone located anywhere right from your computer. So you can do more and travel less. With GoToMeeting all-you-can-meet service, you can hold as many online meetings as you want without paying a per-minute charge. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.goToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. And of course, we want to thank GoToMeeting and GoDaddy for being one of the primary sponsors of our coverage out at the 2009 Consumer Electronics Show. And of course, GoDaddy, hey, if you're looking for a domain name, virtual dedicated server, dedicated account, go over to GoDaddy.com. It helps me keep the lights on, helps keep my family fed, and pick up a domain name, pick up a virtual dedicated server, and when you get to that checkout counter, use the promo code TODD. That'll save you 10% on your order. Geek5. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more, or you can use that Todd20 to get a one-year shared hosting account at 20% discount. Thanks for GoDaddy for being the continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Hey, did you guys notice? I'm such a knucklehead. I really am. Did you guys notice the dates that I was putting on the shows that I was putting on the blog? You know, it's that typical writing a check thing, putting 2008 instead of 2009. I did like 2008 data in it. I'm just like, I saw that. I'm like, what were you thinking? So it's just too many irons in the fire, folks. So I am right now actively seeking some help. And it's just basically what it boils down to. I've run out of enough hours in the day to do what I do. And I'm seeking some help to take some of the administrative load off me here in Hawaii. So I'm seeking part-time geek help here in Honolulu. If you know of someone that's looking for a little part-time work and have social media skills, basically know how to work their way around a spreadsheet and can talk intelligently on a telephone, definitely give me a holler at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, comments on tonight's show can be sent to geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. I've got a number of voicemails to go through at the end of the show. So I want to thank all of you that made comments on the last over the last week while I've been gone. But let's go ahead. We're already way long here, and I've gotten a couple of emails from some new listeners to the show saying, hey, how can we talk for like 15 minutes at the beginning of the show? Hey, that's the way it is. This is the way this show is. I usually go 13, 14 minutes on general commentary stuff. Tonight a little longer because we just got back from CES, but this is the way the podcast is, and I try to give you 45 to 50 more minutes of real content, which we're going to get into right now. And I've had some complaints, just two, where some individuals are not happy with me straying from the tech line. Basically, I've talked about tech, talk about science, and I talk about from time to time some general interest stories. Is the general interest stories bothering you guys? Love to hear your feedback on that. So I'm going to try to stay with tech and science. I'm not going to try to give any of these general interest stories, but you got to understand, you know, it's this is a show where I try to share with you information that I think is cool. And for everyone that was basically screaming at me, and I got a number of those emails, screaming at me during CES about where was the rest of the content for the show, please feel free to come out to Vegas with me next year and trudge along with us, or stay in the hotel and help produce videos for us. There's only so many hours in a day, and I just couldn't do it. Just cannot do it. And it's y'all need to know it. You know, we do the best we can, and I hope that the daily wrap-up coverage was good enough for you. If it's not, tell us what you want to see us do different. And we think the back channel content is going to continue to grow. We know it's going to grow because we saw the numbers of people coming in and watching that content. And we also know the numbers of people that were watching the primary channel content because, you know, generally those videos get about 120,000 to 150,000 downloads in the first 24 hours that we put them up online. The back channel stuff, you know, it gets, you know, a few thousand views depending on where they fall out during the day. So, you know, we're just trying to do the best we can. And again, if we didn't meet your expectations, I apologize, but there's plenty of other websites out there that do a lot more stuff with a lot more people. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get into the tech here. Found a pretty cool, and you guys will laugh, it's Humor for Developers and Internet People. It's brought to us by GiveUpInternet.com, and I'll have the link up to this particular graphic in the show notes. And it's just basically shows you something that Firefox cannot do. And I'll save that for you guys to take a look and get a chuckle out of. Hey, over on Wired, there was a hardware hacker charged with selling cable modems that allowed people to get free broadband. And, you know, a number of years ago, there were cable boxes people could buy that allowed you to get free cable service. But I guess for about the last year, there's been a couple of sites. One of them is cablehack.net. And please don't go over there and buy anything, because the Federales, FBI, now control that website, I believe. And people are buying, you know, cable modems, Motorola cable modems, that have had a firmware adjustment to them that allowed people to connect them to the cable box and basically get free internet service. So, you know, why is $50 worth $50 a month for internet service worth stealing? And, you know, and possibly getting caught and going to, you know, if you steal service, you know, say for example, you steal service for 12 months and the service would have cost you $45 or $50 a month. That's $600 worth of theft. You know, that's, as far as I know, that's a felony. You know, are people willing to go to jail for ordering a modem that is unlocked? I don't get it. I really don't. And I can't imagine that the cable companies don't know that these rogue modems are out there and do their best to track them down. So, you know, it shouldn't come as a surprise that this guy's been arrested. And, but boy, oh boy, why would you even risk going to jail over, you know, $600 a year? I don't get it. I really don't. But, you know, people are willing to do the crime. I guess they're willing to, pay the price of that activity. And it appears there could be as many as 4,000 people who have bought, one of these particular devices. So I wonder if they caught on to him because he'd bought so many Motorola modems. Only time will tell. We'll see what happens in this case. But it's the first of its kind where a hacker has been arrested for that type of activity. Hey, there's a good article over on Science Daily. I won't go into it in too much details. It was a NASA-funded study describing how extreme solar eruptions could have severe consequences for communications, power grids, and other technology on Earth. I think we all knew this already. Solar flares have a tendency to take out a satellite from time to time and cause communication whiteouts here in the United States, across the world, of course. So we'll have this link up in the show notes. If you're not familiar with this topic, you can go through and read it. But it's a new study that's out. Hey, one of the cool things we saw at CES, and one of the things that really made me go, was the NVIDIA Ion platform, which was demonstrated at CES. And they basically had a computer in a box that was about 4 by 6 by an inch, and it had on it a HDMI connection, had on a USB, had a couple of FireWire plugs, and just basically a full-blown computer on a very small platform. And it's pretty cool. It's running on a 1.6 gigahertz Atom 330 CPU. Of course, it's got an NVIDIA's GeForce 9400M GPU on board. And pretty little cool device. And I've got an interview with these guys, but it's not ready. So if you want to check this out, you should. I've got a link up to the Engadget video. Of course, they had an army of people at CES. Of course, they had a trailer on site that was presented and sponsored by Sprint. Hey, these guys, I'm telling you, what a crew. No wonder they had so much coverage and were able to get it up quickly. But they've got some reviews on this. This is pretty cool. For if you're a little developer and you want to play around with a little mini computer, this is probably the way to go. You know, NVIDIA is doing some cool stuff. They've got video cards now with no actual video port on them. They're basically used for processing. It's just nothing more than like an extra computer on your PC. That's for people that are making real heavy applications. They can use their core chipsets. So this is just kind of an extension of that, but a little PC and a little card, so pretty cool. Hey, over on Evehead at evehead.com, of course, this is Evan Williams' website. He is was the founder blogger. He's also one of the owners of Twitter, and he's got a pretty good article on here, What Bloggers Should Do. It talks about the blogger, the website, and what they need to really kind of become more relevant again. Now, WordPress has taken away some of their steam, along with a number of other blogging applications that moved forth. But he's got some comments about Blogger. Now, how many of you that listen to the show are actually using Blogger accounts? Is anybody left using Blogger accounts? I've got a couple of accounts over there, but haven't blogged nothing on them in, probably 5 years. But he's got some ideas for them, and I'll have this linked up in the show notes there. But really, I don't think there's any hope for Blogger anymore. With all the, like Expression Engine, it's a good CMS that's out, Joomla, WordPress, of course, MobileType is a CMS in its own self, the new version. And yes, the site design, it continues to evolve, so I'm not ready to reveal, but we're very close on that. So hopefully have that for you here in the next week or so. Just things keep getting pushed back as my time cycles are absorbed. But we are still planning on making the move here. But pretty good comments by Evan Williams on this. How many of you have downloaded Windows 7? I know that we were trying to download it from the center stage, and the Windows website was so hammered. Even though we were downloading stuff, speed test I did there at center stage was like 25,187 kilobits per second down and like 15,100 or something kilobits per second up. So we had a big, huge, fat pipe. So you would think that the download from Microsoft would not take that long. Well, it appears that everyone in the whole doggone world was trying to download it at the same time. And it is totally available to anyone that wants to download. And there's a pretty good guide that I'm going to link to here on installing it, some hardware requirements that you're going to need. And it's really not that bad. All you need is a 1 gigahertz 32-bit or 64-bit processor, a gig of memory, 16 gigs of available disk space, support for DirectX 9 graphics with 128 megabits of memory, and a DVD-R/W drive. So, it'll give you a good beta and all the way out to, let's see here, August or something like that is when the when this will actually, this test drive will go dead. But if you want to see Windows 7, and there was folks that were loading Windows 7 on triple EPCs, the netbooks, they were loading Windows 7 on those devices and with no complaints. I was pretty impressed with that. I really was. And people were proud of that. There was one gal at center stage who was going around showing everybody. And I looked at it, and really, I did not see this big, huge change. There are some major changes in Windows 7, but if you're a Windows Vista user, hey, guess what? You're going to be at home with Windows 7 for sure. I'm excited about Windows 7, and I'm going to load it up on a test machine here as well. Did you hear about the guy that lost his Beamer? apparently, this guy's car was carjacked, and they made off with his Beamer and his cell phone. And, of course, as he was sitting around the bar moping with his friends, his buddies came up with an idea. So what they did is they kind of figured that people that would be willing to steal cars probably would be into illegal drugs and women. So they text his cell phone basically saying, hey, dude, we've got some girls and we've got some illegal substances and we want to come over. Where are you at? And these folks basically text back the thieves that stole this Beamer, say, hey, man, we're over here at apartment so-and-so. Come on over. Yes, instead of hot girls showing up and someone with illicit drugs, the police showed up. The guy got his Beamer and his phone back, and two bad guys went to jail. You know, come on. You know, how dumb. You know, that goes into Ripley's account right there. It's just amazing. But anyway, it takes all kinds. I guess people that steal cars aren't, they can't put two and two together very quickly. All right, this is a very, I guess this is what I would call sad article. And it's about a guy that's been playing with a Rubik's Cube for 26 years. And he's been very obsessive about his Rubik's Cube for 26 years because he hasn't been able to solve it for 26 years. But finally, this gentleman in the UK was able to solve the Rubik's Cube, and when he finally figured it out, he basically sobbed. He cried that he'd actually got to it. Basically, his wife said that their marriage was a marriage of three. And when she met him, he was already obsessed. Now, this guy just didn't play with it once in a while. He would spend hours every day playing with his Rubik's Cube trying to solve it. 26 years. Okay. How long is it? Be honest with you, I don't even try. I saw the thing. I messed with it for about 10 minutes. I said, forget this. How many of you took that action like I did? Or how many of you spent days trying to figure out the Rubik's Cube? 619-342-7365 is the telephone number. Feel free to call. Feel free to tell me what you guys, how long did it take you to figure out a Rubik's Cube? How many of you played with it for a couple of years before you got it? 26 years? What's this guy going to do now? We might need to find him a new game. All right, apparently the Obama administration is, and the transition team chairman has sent a letter to lawmakers urging Congress to postpone the February 17th switch from analog to digital TV. Come on. Let's get on with it. Forget it. Don't stop now. Oh, millions of consumers are going to be forced to spend their own money to navigate the federally mandated transition, says the letter from Come on. Give me a break. They've been told for how long? Shut them down. Who wants to take odds? Who wants to take odds that they're going to delay this thing? They need to continue to move forward. Shut her down. Open up that airspace, that frequency spectrum. Please don't stop this transition. They'll figure it out. When the TV goes blank, they're going to, guess what? If you folks have not told people that you love and know about this transition, shame on you. You guys have been listening to this show for a long time. Make sure your grandparents, aunties, uncles, great aunties and uncles all know that if they're still getting TV via a TV antenna, and they've got a console, or they've got an old, depending on what they have, make sure they know their TV's going to go dark. Now, if they're already hooked up to cable, they don't have to tell them nothing. If they're getting dish, you don't have to tell them nothing. If they've got an HD TV and they've got an HD antenna and they're getting HD signals over the air, you don't need to tell them nothing. Okay? It's the analog, folks. Don't forget. Don't get it mistaken. But come on. That wouldn't be a good way to start out. Here we're going to have an inauguration here next week, but we don't need to stop the transition. Hey, Scobel, I got to talk with Scobel a couple of times out at Vegas. Had a nice talk with him at Digital Experience. He was pimping me on Friend Feed, which was cool. And I Scobel, tells people about you once. And I got like 500 new followers on Twitter. It was crazy. If you're on Twitter, at Geek News, that's me. If you go ahead and follow me, I'll follow you. And but Scoble's got some good ideas here. If you're laid off, here's how to socially network. And he's got just this huge list. 20 ideas on things that you can do to socially network to help yourself get a job. And things to do, things to prepare. So please, hey, check this out. Hey, I gotta add something here. Did you guys know, I've never been a big fan of MSNBC News, but this wasn't involved, related to MSNBC, but it's related to NBC Universal. This is how good, I had gained new respect for NBC. Did you guys just fall out of your chair? NBC Universal sponsored a blogger area. They had four chairs in a cool area. We've got a good coverage on it. We interviewed the guy that set it up. They had four chairs with four flat screens behind them, and they allowed bloggers 1 hour time slots to come into the NBC Universal booth and blog about the show. And they provided bandwidth, refreshments, some swag. And I must admit, they were cool. They gave us some swag bags to bring home. And one of our guys actually got to blog. We'll have some pictures up on that. Got his the Tech Podcast logo, his name, and NBC Universal above that, right in their big multi-million-dollar booth, big area. So it shows me that old media is starting to figure out, hey, we need to start embracing these new media guys, bloggers and so forth. So I talked to them quite a little bit. We're going to have an ongoing discussion with them throughout the year. Hopefully next year, maybe there can be some live streaming. Techzilla did some live shows from there, but we're talking about continuous live streaming from the show. That's the goal next year, is to be able to do that, have enough people there where we can have people in a booth, people on the floor, people doing video editing. This has always been a goal of us, to do live video streaming from CES. And actually, we've got some ideas, and I can't even reveal a couple of the companies that we talked to. But we've got some really interesting developments that could come out of this show based on conversations we had. But getting back, I guess I went full circle here. I don't know why I got on this tangent with NBC Universal. But if you're laid off, here's how to social network. This article by Scoble. Have that linked up in the show notes. But I don't know. How did I get to that transition point? But doesn't matter. We'll move on with the content as well. Hey, another article by Scoble. He's talking about, are trade shows dead? And absolutely not. I was worried. CS attendance is definitely down. I think they were 110,000 people versus 240. We could tell that the taxi cab lines were not as long. Really was not as many people on the floor. It was easier to get around and get interviews. It was pleasant. Places to sit down, unheard of. Unheard of at CES. We never had, you'd go to the refreshment stand and there'd be little tables. You'd have to stand around the tables. There would be no chairs. This year there were big tables with chairs. So definitely not as many companies out there, 22% less, but it's a great place to network. Half the battle, I'm going to point out to all of you, if you guys have a friend that's a podcaster and they're doing a tech show, you need to have them listen to this. Half the battle is just showing up. If you show up and go to the show, shell out a few dollars to go there and meet with people, doors of opportunity will open. Absolutely open, because we met so many people, so many companies, so many contacts. It's a year's worth of resources to build from. So I'm hoping more technical type podcasters will come out to CES and cover this thing. We're the only guys out there carrying the cameras. There was a few others, but we've been there consistently year after year. Company that I think I like the most, that I'm impressed the most with, that had the most traffic at their booth every time we went by, was Boxy. Web TV that makes sense. Folks, they have a cool product. Very, very cool. If you have an Apple TV, you need to get a Boxy account. convert that baby to Boxy. If you've got a Windows Media Center or Windows machine, Boxy is really cool. I'm telling you. I know maybe I was wrong on the, maybe it runs on an Apple machine. I may be wrong there, but I, you know, I looked at it from the Apple TV perspective. BOXEE.com, very cool device. And they're a game changer. There was cable execs there that probably were sweating Boxy. Moving on here. The parties at Vegas were not in show supply. You know, we had Digital Experience was at the Mirage. Showstoppers was at the Venetian. No, was at the Wynn. Lots of cool VIPs. Lots of entertainers. Diana Ross was at the Monster Party. Of course, there was some cool announcements by Palm. Of course, we didn't even know about it until the day later. They're not. They weren't on the floor. They were in a suite. We didn't make it over there, sadly. Just didn't have time. But some of the coolest stuff we found were just in these obscure booths. And one of the things that we found, along with the Crunch Gear folks, was called PQ Labs iTablet. It's kind of like Microsoft Surface, but these folks are a small company, and they got some cool stuff going on here. I'll link up in the show notes to this. Hey, more on a traditional front and some more news where people are battling each other. Over on Mac Blog Z, it appears that the App Store wars, in other words, Apple App Store wars, have been continuing to increase. Developers are spamming, lying, and providing bogus reviews about their competitor's product. You know, when you're making $100,000 a month on web apps, you know, it's people are pretty motivated to go talk badly about your competitor to raise sales. It's all about money and greed right now. And it's just amazing what the companies are going to. So at some point, there's going to be some lawsuits, and maybe those $100,000 that they're earning are not going to be, you know, so much in their pockets anymore. And I am still fighting this cough. No, it's not my, from when I'm, you know, you guys were, someone had tweeted me and said, Todd, are you, have you taken your meds? Well, I do take my meds for my acid reflux, but the cough has nothing to do with acid reflux. All right, Fedora 11 is forthcoming here shortly. Those of you that are Linux fans and like Fedora, I'm a big Fedora fan. That's what we're running many of our servers on. The new Fedora is going to have some cool stuff. They're going to be a Yum update, which basically is going to allow you to download just those pieces of the different utilities and so forth that need to be updated. It's called Presto. It is a package manager, essentially. Download the parts that have changed instead of the entire package. They've also got a cool thing called Device Kit. It's a new hardware abstraction layer that simplifies device management. New volume control user interface that leverages Pulse Audio, faster boot time with KDE 4.2 and Python 2.6. So they've had a developers meeting in Boston this week. So if any of you are out there, love to hear from you. But cool stuff coming from Fedora here shortly. All right, Palm. Palm was the story of the week, really, that we missed because we didn't make it over to Palm's suite. But when Robert Scoble told me that Palm was an iPhone killer, I just about dropped my jaw. And he wasn't the only person that said that. I've since gotten back, read all the reviews and all the things that Palm has come out with their Palm Web OS. And if you haven't followed the news on this, it's huge. This is going to be big. The phone is, first of all, it's cool. It's styling. It's got tactile input on the screen. It's got a QWERTY keyboard. It's got a cool camera, 3-megapixel camera on it. We'll do video, surf the web. It charges by a... You basically put it close to the charger, and it charges without having to plug it in. It's got a micro SD slot. What else? It's got all kinds of cool stuff. The UI is slick, and I'm watching all these different videos. It's got a lot of kind of Palm type features, but in a iPhone sort of way. It's really cool, and it's going to be easy for developers to develop. is apparently going to come out for a price range between $399 for an unlocked headset to $149 with one under a contract. It's going to come out on the Sprint network first, quickly followed by other networks. This is going to be big. Palm's got a shot here. They got one chance. They got 13 or 14 months to make this happen. But, you know, after reviewing those two Palm phones during the winter, I was completely like, yuck. This is a winner. It really is. The Palm Pre, folks, going to be available the first half of 2009, which probably means we'll see it in June. But developer support's going to be simple. People that know how to do a little JavaScript, CSS, and so forth for web development are going to know, or PHP, going to have no problem writing apps for this thing. Let's talk a little bit about Clearwire, or Clear. Spent considerable amount of time in the Clear booth. And we didn't run tape. We just chatted with the guys in the booth. We should see, this is an exclusive, we should see within 2 weeks an announcement from Clear. They're having a big meeting in 2 weeks where they're going to announce the national rollout roadmap. So we're all going to know in 2 weeks. This is pretty confidential, folks. You heard it here first. Within 2 weeks, they're going to announce the national rollout. And they've come up with some, they've done partnered with some companies. They've got a cool little box from that's been modified from Cradlepoint. If those of you that are familiar with Cradlepoint, what it is, so that's a little Wi-Fi router. And you're basically going to be able to stick your Clear WiMAX modem into this thing. And you'll be able to have a Wi-Fi umbrella. There's some other folks doing that too. We've got some really cool video of a very cool device we saw from the folks. What's the name of that company? My bag's on the other side. Starts with an N. Oh, gosh. I'll talk about it on the next show. But these Wi-Fi umbrellas that people are doing with this is an EVDO type of card. Novatel. Novatel is a company. They're coming out with a cool device. The folks at Clear have got this cool device by Cradlepoint. And they had it in use there in the booth. WiMAX speeds, oh my goodness. I cannot wait. 12 to 18 months nationwide, folks. And Clear, if you're listening, come to Hawaii, my friends. We're easy rollout. Come roll us out. Please, please, please. I will be the first to sign up. I will have an account pre-rollout no matter what. There's been some tests done in Portland where they're seeing 6 megs down, 6 to 10 megs down, and a meg up. Oh, a meg up, folks, on WiMAX. Intel's already fast, moving fast and incorporating WiMAX into laptops. You're going to see a whole bunch of WiMAX-capable laptops on the street here shortly. So I'm excited. I really, really am. So we will see. Again, this is another company that has about 18 months to really make a difference before you can stick a fork in them. So we'll see what happens, but more speed is coming. I cannot wait. But, you know, the EVDO coverage even in Vegas, when all the geeks got in town, even with only 110,000 people, slammed. Absolutely slammed. And I'm sure WiMAX will get slammed when there's that many people as well. But you never know. Hopefully they put enough channels in that they won't have that problem. Okay, National Safety Council is calling for a nationwide ban on cell phone use while driving. They're saying, hey, people are talking on the phone too much, even on wireless devices, and they're killing people. So they want laws put in place on a nationwide basis to ban cell phone use while driving. Good luck. You know what? Where's my wireless? I got my wireless. For those of you on Ustream, here's my wireless. I wear my wireless. It's got to be charged. It went dead today on the way home, so... But come on now. Don't be silly. There's not going to be no way. Actually, I had the wrong camera up. Here it is. They're not going to be able to shut this down. There's just no way. It's not going to happen. All right, moving to a different topic here. Let's go into a little science front. I'm actually a little fantasy here. This guy by the name of Neil deGrasse Tyson, he says there's going to be a killer asteroid. Matter of fact, it's an asteroid that's already been detected that could hit us as early as April 13th, 2029. And it's going to hit California. He knows that already. And this guy is the host of PBS's Nova Space Now TV program. He gave this talk in 2007, and it's a joke. Don't get too wrapped around the axle with it, okay? So I have it linked up in the show notes. If you want to scare somebody, go ahead and share it with them. So, no, he was just being, he was exaggerating, but it's been picked up by the news wires all over the place, and they've been sucked in like it's real. So don't tell them. Don't tell the news people, okay? Shh. Hey, Microsoft has plugged 3 Windows security holes. Microsoft issued a critical software update to plug at least 3 security holes in Windows operating system. The patch, which applies to all supported versions of Windows, is available for Microsoft. And it involves the server message block, SMB protocol, a component of Windows used to provide shared access to file, printers, and other communications over network. So just info on that. There's also been a some information released about a vulnerability in Safari on how information within basically can be exploited off Safari to basically give the bad sites information about you. So I have that link up in the show notes. Sony may be suffering its first loss in 14 years. Expect to lose $1.1 billion and due to sluggish sales and stronger yen. And this could be the first announcement by Sony in 14 years of a of loss, you know, these type of losses, or its first loss, first year in the red. How many of you use Jot? I wasn't familiar with Jot until today. But Jot is a voice-to-text service, and it has been out of beta since, I guess, about August. They have announced that there will be no more free accounts. If you have a Jot account, you're going to have to pay $4 a month for it. And they say about 30% of Jot's active users have opted for the premium service, and they're going to be adding some things to it, so I'll check that out. But it looks pretty cool, and I'm going to have to play around with it a little bit. I have not played with Jot. All right, with Apple making a bit, of course, hey, Apple users, I'm sorry. I really am. Because, you know what, Macworld, you do know which product got best to show, right? A Windows product, the HP Media Smart Server, running on Windows Home Server. You do know that was the best to show at Macworld? You do know that you can use Time Machine now with the Windows Media Smart Home Server? Did an interview with those guys. The UI on the Windows, on the HP Media Smart Server has been improved dramatically. I love that box. I got one right down here underneath there, Gen 1. The Gen 1s will be updatable. There'll just be a few things you won't be able to do with it. I'm excited. And yes, I've had several of you email me, several of you call the voicemail hotline, said, Todd, I want your HP Smarts Media Smart Server if you sell it. And so I'll let you know. I'm going to pre-order a HP Media Smart Server, the new version. And when I get it in, I get all my data transferred, I will have it up for sale. So I will advise you when I'm getting that. And just want the, I want more RAM. And I want a little bit of a heftier processor in it. Now, the ones that I have right here is good, but I'm just looking for a little more need for speed. So I'll give someone a great discount on it. And I'll probably just contact people that contacted me first. I think Jeffrey was the first one that reached out to me. So, Jeffrey, you'll have first dibs on it. And then there was a couple that called the voicemail, and I'll give you guys second dibs. So advanced ordering is already in process. I got to get my order in. So when I get it in, it'll be probably a month or so, depending on when HP starts shipping them. So I'll let you know, okay? But anyway, digital rights war looms ahead. And this is about Apple's announcement last week to no longer have a DRM embedded in over 10 million songs on the iPhone, actually on the iTunes store. And this is going to set up a big battle between this new consortium called the DECE. It's the DECE is a U.S. consortium of entertainment, retail, and IT companies that want to set really new standards, basically new access standards, on how basically media is controlled that you own, it's bought from them. So this is setting up a war between DECE and Apple. Now, one thing Apple has done, it's been revealed today that even though Apple is no longer putting DRM in the tracks, 10 million tracks that you buy out of MP3s, or actually AAC, they are including your email address in the media file. So if you share it and it gets out there on the web, Apple's going to know who did it until someone comes up with a strip utility. So I have information on DECE, and I also have information up on this DRM, basically embedding of your contact info in there. Hey, over on Extreme Tech, remember we talked about a house that went solar? And it was a house up in Northern California. Well, they've got an update. Going solar 6 months. This is a great read for any of you considering this. And check it out, okay? I'll have this link up in the show notes. Good, good read. What else? Oh, there's a good article on the WiMAX performance I talked about a little earlier up in Portland. I'll have this linked up in the show notes for you. Last article for tonight, and before we get into voicemails and email, is a Wired article. It talks about link bait your blog. There was a guy in the center stage room that was talking about CPM rates he's getting with Google AdSense and some of the stuff he does to, you know, really game search engine quality scores. And I was really kind of semi-doubtful. But some of the stuff he talked about is in this article on Wired, and I thought I would share it with you. But, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, I don't worry about quality score, quality page, quality rank of articles. I don't worry about the, I just create content, right? And it is what it is, good or bad. And I don't use Google AdSense on my site because it didn't pay crap. And maybe, I guess if I paid attention, I could probably do very well with Google AdSense. But I just have never had the heart to, you know, go that heavy into it. But there is some tips here on Wired. There's a few things that you can do, just some minor things and some advice that you can go to help improve your blog. And I had to laugh because there was an illustration on this by a Josh Cochran. And, you know, that's, of course, my name is Todd Cochran, but he spells his last name wrong with a – he doesn't have an E on the end like I do. All right, let me go ahead and minimize this. And, hey, I see Willie J on Ustream, Aloha. And a couple other folks down there, too. Pretty small crowds, pretty late on the West Coast. Let me go ahead and blast into the voicemails here. And I haven't previewed these, so I don't... actually, I did preview one that came in earlier. That's why I knew it was someone called in wanting to get the HP Media Smart. But these have come in just recently. Let me go ahead and play these. And one of them's really long. So we got some time yet here to bounce through these. So let me go ahead and first play this. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Here we go.
Hey, Todd, Clint, calling from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Clint.
Listen, I was in the middle of my workout listening to your recent podcast when I heard the thing about Burger King issuing a cease and desist order on Facebook to Whopper virgins. That is too funny. That is just too funny. I think that they are overly sensitive, and I will never eat a Burger King ever again for at least a year or so, not only because of that, but because of trying to eat more healthy. And so...
You and me this, both.
This certainly ices the cake there. I will certainly have another reason to not eat it there ever, ever again. Keep up the good work. Enjoy the podcast. Happy New Year. And I guess we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much for that. And you know what? I think we all could take some lessons on not eating fast food. I definitely need to lose about 20 pounds. One thing about when I was in the Navy, one thing about the, you know, having to eat, I had to always go at every biannual PRT where I had to weigh in, and I had to do this, you know, this little PRT test. You know, being out of the Navy, being retired, you know, I kind of laxed off and have gained some weight. And my wife has pointed a little finger at me and says, "You need to lose weight." So, you know, she made me step on the scales before I went to Vegas and made me step on the scales after I got back to Vegas. And guess what? I lost some weight. Of course, you know, you would when you're there working the floor like we did and not really. We had some good meals, don't get me wrong, but we were also working hard. So, the calories were getting burned off. But anyway, pretty cool. Good idea. Let's not eat any fast food for the next year. How about it? You want to do that? You and me both? You want to go on a can we challenge each other not to do that? How many other people want to join the challenge here? No Mickey D's, no Burger King, none of those places that really make you fat. Who wants to take on a challenge? I'll go. We'll see how long we can last. So good one, Clint. We'll see if we can get some more people to join us on this challenge, and we'll do it as a team here at Geek News Central. Have a little weight loss competition. How about that? All right, here comes the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago.
Hey, Tom.
I hope you're enjoying the CES show. Look forward to videos coming out of there. Hey, I'm commenting regarding the show you put up, I think January 2nd, about electronics and how many of us return electronics. I seldom return electronics, but I think that expectation level has to do with quality and really what we think things will do. Give you an example. I bought a little mini computer. It was a media PC. HP made it. Tiny little thing. I was thinking, great. I throw it in the bedroom, be able to surf the internet on the Wi-Fi, and also plug the cable in and have kind of a full experience. Well, I plugged in the computer cable and then connected to the to the TV using the HDMI cable. And come to find out, I started surfing just clicking through the cable TV stations, and the quality of the picture was so poor that I was like, ugh. And so, you know, we still use it to surf the internet, but I think, you know, given if I could return that thing, I probably would, because it's an overpriced DVD player to some extent that makes a lot of noise. And but I think that's probably part of the deal with some of the electronics we see out there that we think will work and work well, and that goes the same for some of the website hosting and the software, just stuff like that where you don't have the whole picture, and that's why I really like the idea of testing it and playing around with it. And I think maybe we as people who live in the United States, if we're able to play around with stuff a little bit more and see it and touch it and feel it, we can better understand how things work rather than just seeing it up on a web page. Anyway, just my two cents. So enjoy the CES, and have safe travels home. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. And one thing to remember about these netbooks, they are netbooks. Do a little email, do a little surf on the web, but they are not heavy computers. They will not ever replace a regular PC. Devices like the Roku box greatly improved since its codec has been updated. There's lots of challenges out there, but really, I think what this year is going to be about is cool little devices that really are going to allow many of us to cancel. As soon as I get boxy working on my Apple TV, I'm pulling the plug on regular TV here at the house. It's going bye-bye. All of it. My cable, I'll keep my internet connection, but I'm canceling all my cable channels. It's going gone because I was that impressed with the boxy. Really, really was. So we'll see what happens, but yeah, I understand your quality issue there. And, we'll hopefully we'll find some cool stuff for you that will be inexpensive, allow you to save some money. Again, I promise this year we would try to do that. And, you know, as much as emphasis I gave on boxy in the show, this is one item that if you can get on the beta, get the, USB stick loaded, you got an Apple TV, it could change the way that you subscribe to TV stuff, okay, through your cable provider. And, you know, all of us, you know, at least have a 40, 50, 60, probably more, a cable bill. So a great way to knock that down. And we'll just do it one at a time, trying to find one item at a whack here. All right, let me go ahead and move on to, okay, that's kind of, those of you on Ustream, that's kind of a weird view, isn't it? Let me go ahead and move it back to the other one. Here's the next voicemail. It's pretty long, and let's fire this off.
Yeah, I'll let you hazard a guess there, Todd. Hey, was listening to your last, actually, I'm kind of in the middle of the last podcast, and you said you didn't get a lot of voicemail comments. Like, well, shoot, I'm not emailing as I'm driving down the road. I'll just give you a holler. And she's used up all 2 minutes and not lose track of the points, the key points that I wanted to go over. We're talking about GoDaddy and having issues with that. And I had issues. I had a website when I first started my podcast. I was using the freebie stuff that GoDaddy provided, and it didn't support Flash, and they wouldn't allow you to FTP. And if I have a computer that doesn't use Flash or use Flash properly, i.e. a Macintosh or a Linux machine, which I'm running Linux 99.9% of the time in that environment, I have issues with Flash uploaders. And in fact, there's a lot of open source diehards that won't run Flash on any of their machines. So there's no other alternative or options in order to get your podcast uploaded or using their Flash uploading process for the website tonight that GoDaddy had. I had another, actually, I moved my site a little bit off to one that's actually went over the, went with the name of the podcast, which is randomizedradio.com. Yeah, I did. I snuck that in there. But used WordPress, and I'm using your Blueberry plugin for uploading or addressing the, including the file, I guess, the enclosure to the post.
Right.
Which is kind of snazzy. I like that plugin, so kudos to you guys. But I had emailed GoDaddy with this issue, and they just said they did not support it under the freebie stuff. They didn't even offer or suggest the person I got the emails from, and this is 6-7 months ago.
They should have told
didn't
you
even suggest that I try to get a different account or sell me or make any points that GoDaddy offered some of these other options,
right.
But they were a fee service. And I've taken a look at one and one.com. And I'm kind of liking what they've got going on over there too. I'm not going to try to slam anything, but you know, I made a little blog post. I'd sent emails to the support desk with GoDaddy, and I don't know. I just feel like I'd like to take my business someplace else because of their customer service. Just didn't really leave me a warm, fuzzy feeling. So I don't know. It's going to be matters of opinions, and yeah, that's. I think competition is good, though. You got to have someone who is. I don't want to see any monolithic system in there because competition keeps us on our toes and keeps things fresh and keeps things going. Your podcast or Andy McCaskey's. They're different. They're different flavors. They have different styles. They're both tech news, and I might hear the same story a couple of times, but that might be something that's important enough that a couple other individuals thought that this issue or topic should be covered more than once. So I know you're over at CES. I hope you have a good time. And I know you're going to be burnt out like you were last year from doing it. I'm going down the road and enjoying listening to you, and you have a great one, man, and happy New Year. God bless.
Hey, thanks for calling, and wait for the audio to calm down here. You know, I guess when you're a lot of the things has to do with the web is you get what you pay for, and you said you're using one of their free services, you know, with a shared hosting account with GoDaddy. And I don't know, it didn't indicate that that's what you're doing. You should be able to do a Flash very simply. Matter of fact, we've got a couple of shared accounts that we have some websites on that, you know, basically you can FTP right into it and put the FLV file up if you so desire, or put an embed on a web page or run a WordPress blog. So you should be able to do that with a standard shared hosting account with them. Now, on their freebie account, yeah, you know, they probably limit what you can do with that, and they limit that for a reason. You know, they limit it to a standard blog post and don't give you any FTP access because obviously they want you to to go to pay for a shared hosting account. There's lots of hosting providers out there. Don't get me wrong. And there's a lot of them that do a great job. And when you have a bad customer experience, customer service experience, obviously it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. I'd love to have you email me whenever that something like that happens. We had a listener that's got a website right now that's being blocked in China, and he's on a shared hosted site at GoDaddy. He's having some challenges, but basically whenever you're on a shared hosted site, the number of blogs or number of websites that could be using that same IP could be hundreds or even thousands. So there could be one site on there that could be on China's hit list, and it will cause that IP to be blocked. And there's nothing you can do about it, especially if you are, again, in a shared hosting environment where you are sharing an IP. That IP that is for your website is also the same exact IP, in other words, the internet protocol address that 1,000 other sites have. So there's one site on there, it's an anti-China site. China says, oh, we're going to block that IP, and boom, all of a sudden you're blocked. Now, do you blame GoDaddy for that? I don't think you can. But I think what you do is say, hey, my site's blocked by China. Can I get a dedicated IP? And this is what they've offered this individual that's having an issue. And you get on a dedicated IP. Basically, the site resolves different IP. Boom, boom, you're no longer blocked by China. I know that that happens from time to time with sites. And that's one of the risks of being on a shared host. So, you know, when you're looking to, you know, Flash is something that should be able to be used on any shared hosting account. Now, so far as a free offering goes, I don't think so. But if you look at the price range to start out on a shared hosting account, it's cheap, really, really cheap. Matter of fact, I always keep a few spare accounts around just for, you know, playing around with different domains and different test sites that I put up. And, you know, it's you don't need all that horsepower behind a website that's new, and unlike Geek News Central, which we run on a dedicated box. Now, there's six or seven other domains I run on that server as well. But, you know, the traffic volume I get on there dictates that I have some power underneath the hood. So I think the realization that is when people are podcasting, I see so many podcasters putting their audio in the same location as their website, which is really dumb. It really is, because what happens is the website starts getting some traffic, the podcast starts getting popular, and all of a sudden the website won't load because so many people are downloading the podcast and people want to blame the hosting provider. Well, websites are set up to allow so many concurrent connections. In other words, you can have so many connections to your website, and once you use that, you don't have any more. And basically the website says not available. So never, ever, ever put your media where your website is. None of the media, none of the on Geek News Central, the Flash, the MP3s, none of that is hosted on the server that has got the website. As a matter of fact, the MP3 media and the MP4s were all on our commercial CDN from Panther, and that's why the downloads for those files were so extraordinarily fast. Now, the Flash was coming from Blip, so they obviously were having some issues keeping up with the demand. But, you know, when the media is getting hit as hard as it was, you kind of expect that to a certain extent when you're not in control of the hosting. Let me go ahead and move on here to the audio comments tonight. Excuse me, the email comments. And we got a lot to go through in about 4 minutes. And not too bad. There's a real long one here from Dave out of Woodbury, Minnesota. Hey, Dave, can I have permission to repost this article on Geek News Central? If I could, I'd love to put this entire email up and make a great article. If you give me permission to do that, I'd just email me, or I'll reply to you and say, can I do that? And we'll put it up and share it with everybody in full. I got an email from Thomas, Trucker Tom, and he sent me a link to those white balance lens caps that he talked about. Self-explanatory, pictures worth 1,000 words. Well, these lens caps, as I asked you, I said, okay, they've got a little translucent. Basically, what happens is they have a little bubble on the front of the lens cap that allows the light through enough so that you can do a white balance on your camera. Very, very cool. And I'll link this up in the show notes for you tonight. He got an email from Jim. He says, hey, this is funny. Soon after sending you that last email, Engadget has info on the Kodak's new ZX1. Kodak ZX1 was the camera we did for day 4 pick of the day at CES. It was picked by a product choice by, I believe, Popular Mechanics as well. A pretty cool little camera from Kodak. Kodak is back in business, folks. They really are. Got an email from Keith talking about a fax machine. I'm waiting for this to load. These articles were all supposed to have been pre-cached. He said, Todd, I have a dedicated fax line with a fax on it. They really come in handy when the internet's down. Stay with POTS telephones on copper wire. Happy New Year. And Keith, I understand that too. I've got a still have a copper wire here as well. Got an email from Jerry. He said, hey, Todd, in podcast 435, I think you said you might be offering to sell your HP home server. I might be interested in buying it. Well, you're on the list, Jerry. And he says, P.S., I'm a flight attendant for American based at LAX. I might even be able to schedule a flight to Honolulu to pick up the server if that would be convenient for you. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's small enough. It'll go on your carry-on bag. Thanks, Jerry, for that, and we'll keep you advised. I think you're second or third on the list. got an email from Thomas Tide. You spoke of your support for Vista in the past shows, and now that I finally have a Vista machine, I understand where you're coming from. I don't see what everyone has been complaining about. I bought a HP DV4 1145G Go laptop with a Vista Premium 64-bit on it. Well, you got a good machine for sure. What a great machine. I hope Windows holds off on Windows 7 a little while so I can enjoy Vista. Hope you have fun at CS. Keep up the great work. And again, from Thomas. I apologize for coughing your ear there, folks. Got three articles from Robert talking about some stuff that Dave Weiner talked about on RSF. Has not reviewed these. I'll take a review on those and then put them up in the show notes if it's appropriate. Got an email from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, I'm from Michigan, too. I'm from Saginaw. Lived in the Midwest, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Southeast, North Carolina, Texas, and Arkansas, which of all have good thunderstorms. I moved to Portland for 5 years and found myself really missing the thunderstorms. In the first 4 years, I may have seen two lightning bolts or maybe three rolls of thunder. In the last year, I was there with my daughter and I sat outside under a carport and listened to a dry thunderstorm with lots of thunder and sky lightning. I've actually had several minutes of video caused it to happen so rarely. I now live in Iowa again and love to sit and listen to thunder. You too. I do too. I'm a junkie for lightning storms. I really am. So thanks, Jeff. And he's with Booth Services at boothservices.com. Got an email from Travis. Yep, Travis, I'll definitely send you a link up to the Geek News Central mock-up when it's ready. Got an email from Jeff as well. Say, hey, Todd, I use my window key every day. I did a Google search and found this article that lists some of the actions you can do using it. So I have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from Doug. He says, hey, Todd, Doug here from Toronto. Ever since Palm announced their web OS and the at CES, I've been following any and all news on it. I came across some interesting info that wasn't covered in their blogosphere regarding their app catalog, which sounds pretty hopeful. The gist of it is that although they'll have both free and certified apps available, developers will also be free to make and distribute applications without needing Palm's blessing. Oh, that's cool. I never expected them to pull an Apple and exercise top-down control because before Apple came along, other smartphone OSs have been able to distribute applications however they see fit. That Palm isn't following Apple's lead is good news. Heck, maybe it's even good news for iPhone users forced to either jailbreak their phones or only use it in the way that Steve Jobs and company wants them to. Take care and all the best in 2009, Doug. And this article is over at rgbfilter.com. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from Tom in Nampa, Idaho. He said, Todd and crew have been watching all the back channel video marathon style on my TV. The content is outstanding, and I just want to thank you all for the videos. As you know, there are a lot of big podcasters covering CES, but I think you guys have the best stuff. I enjoy the spontaneous aspects of videos, as a few times you guys were caught off guard, like the two blondes and the foul-mouthed bartender. Very funny stuff. A suggestion for the name, perhaps you could call it Geek News Central Unplugged or Tech Podcast Unplugged. Again, I thank you all for your great content. I actually feel like I was traveling with you guys at CES. Sincerely, Tom. Hey, Tom, that's what about the movie thing's all about. Looking for movie producers for 2010. And thanks for the suggestions on the back channel. I have to go out and register those domains now. Very cool stuff. And yep, even though the back channel has next year, this is the goal for next year's back channel. we're going to work heavy on the audio quality. Now, the video is pretty good with the back channel, but the audio still needs a lot of work. And I got an email from Christopher, and Christopher, you were one of the comments about that I made in the beginning of the show. Say, hey, what Christopher says, while I appreciate that Todd Shittick is the guy next door approach, I think too much time is spent chattering. I was listening recently to one of the Christmas podcasts and finally looked down at the time, and 15 minutes had gone by and not on Tech Story. I think Todd's podcasts are far too long already, and the fact that the chit-chat takes up over 30% of the overall podcast is a bit much. Some friendly advice to get the meat of things a bit quicker. There are a lot of opinions out there, and folks who, one, have only 10 to 20 minute of chunks of time, think learning objects and mobile learning, and two, may want to catch up on two or three topics, not just tech, will find it increasingly challenging to put up with the length of these. However good Todd is when he gets the meat of the podcast, just trying to help Christopher. Christopher, love to have you stay on as a listener, my friend. Here we are. We're an hour and 18 minutes. We had a good 50 minutes of regular content, a little longer in the beginning because of CES. It is what it is. And I love you guys no matter what. Unless people complain loudly about the show and the audience continues to grow massively as it has, we're just going to continue to keep on keeping on. You know, I might be considered doing a shorter show if someone would be willing to just edit it and do just the meat, you know, Geek News Central podcast meat. I'd maybe consider doing that, but I don't have time to do that sort of editing. And hey, it's my podcast, and although you're part of the Ohana, it is what it is. Love you anyway. Okay, let's close out here, and I want to thank all of you for being part of the Ohana. Send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Everyone take care. Keep your eyes on the site. We're going to have lots of CES content starting tomorrow. Video interviews will be coming up, and I think you'll enjoy them. Until next time, aloha.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.